You're listening to the Islamic Sustainable Finance and Investment Podcast, the show discussing the latest and most exciting developments of Sharia-compliant sustainable finance.
This episode is brought to you by Chagamas Berhad in conjunction with its 35th anniversary. For more information on Malaysia's National Mortgage Corporation, log on to www.chagamas.com.my.
Malaysia is touted to be a leader in driving the Islamic sustainable finance agenda by its global peers. But has the country fully capitalized on its potential, and how can it do so? My name is Vinita Tan, the managing editor of Islamic Finance News. In today's episode, we speak to Sharifatul Haniza Syed Ali, the head of Islamic Capital Market Development at the Securities Commission Malaysia, to find out.
Hi, Haniza, and thank you so much for joining us today. So we are going to talk about Islamic sustainable finance in the context of Malaysia. To start off, could you perhaps set the scene for us? If we're looking purely at Malaysia, what kind of potential are we looking at?
Thanks, Vinita, for giving us the chance for SC to talk a little bit on the Islamic capital market and the sustainability agenda. I think to answer your question as to what is the potential size of the market, maybe I do need to put it into context first. Is how big is the global market and then drill down into the Malaysian market. I hope that's all right with you. The thing is that if you look at ESG assets under management globally, I think by 2025, the numbers that are being projected is that it should be exceeding more than $50 trillion. And if you took that big picture, which basically underlines the increasing awareness from investors on how important it is to actually embrace the sustainability agenda and its positive impact on the environment, on the community, and basically the society at large. So also then to take a few steps back, I think we all know that the last couple of years, where the pandemic has taken us is that this agenda of sustainability has even been accelerated by showing us how vulnerable community and the Mother Nature environment is, and if not more profound, the impact of it. And therefore, there is an urgent need for us to drive and aspire for a sustainable and resilient future. I think notwithstanding whatever market volatility we saw last year, you actually saw on record more than $37 billion of inflows into sustainable funds. Whereas if you look at the wider universe, there was more outflows, obviously, over the same period. And if we look at what is required by governments, by individuals or businesses and corporates, we need to actually raise $3.5 trillion annually if we're ever going to dream or aspire getting to net zero in 2050, actually. So looking at the bond markets, of course, there's some granular numbers there. So I now then go then into Malaysia, Vanita, if we can do that. Your question is, what is the potential size of the market here? Obviously, and we are very encouraged by it, the sustainable and responsible investment market in Malaysia, the growth is tremendous. We are happy to see that being being drivers in the regulatory space, I think the facilitative frameworks and ecosystem we have put into place, that has actually boosted the awareness and therefore consequently the demand by the Malaysian companies on how important it is to undertake the practices and also then give investment options to the investors. The growth of SRI products in Malaysia, especially SRI funds, has been very encouraging. As at December 2022 last year, we saw 58 qualified SRI funds. In ringgit terms, it was about 7.05 billion. And this was actually equitable to a compound annual growth rate of about 39% versus only 34 funds in 2021 with a net asset value of about 5.08 billion ringgit Malaysia. And most of these funds was driven by unit trust funds. And that also indicates the increasing interest and awareness from retail investors. When we go into the other traditional segment of bonds and Sukuk, as at December and last year, 10.58 billion ringgit worth of SRI Sukuk was issued. Cumulatively, we are now reading it at about 18.9 billion ringgit since we first introduced our SRI Sukuk framework in 2014. And Vinita, I'm sure you're aware that Malaysia was also the first issuer of the world's first green Sukuk in 2017. And I think what's interesting, we want the listeners to know is that out of the total SRI Sukuk issuances, almost 16.6 billion ringgit was dually recognized under our SRI Sukuk framework and the ASEAN standards. And if you look at the ASEAN ecosystem, issuances from Malaysia accounted for about 24% of the total issuances. League table-wise, we are ranked third right now in terms of total issuances behind Thailand and Philippines. And if I may, Vinita, I think with all the numbers and stats that I've been regurgitating to you, I think what's important we need to be reminding ourselves and understanding is that the growth in SRI has been or has been very much driven also by the corporate sector as more companies and value chains are adopting sustainable practices. They recognize the need to transition towards a sustainable future. I think that increasing awareness was also reflected or manifested by institutional investors on the importance of inserting that in their decisions. It is very encouraging. I mean, looking at how we also launched our SRI linked Sukuk last year, and all that in place, I think the message that we are trying to set is that the regulatory ecosystem is facilitating and enabling. And we know that is very much desired. I mean, we have an ambitious climate goal, right? The target is to reduce the economy-wide carbon intensity of 45% in 2030 compared to a 2005 level. And we also have the aspiration, directional target is to achieve a net zero emission by 2050. So with all that in place, we need to drive increased investment in sustainable and low carbon industries. And therefore, the frameworks that the regulators have in place must not only enable, but also be able to motivate and drive that desire. I think what's also key for us to be very mindful of as we take on this journey and down the net zero pathway, we are looking at about 350 billion to 400 billion ringgit of investments from the public and private sector from now until 2050. That is a huge demand, Vinita, and therefore we can't rely on public finance alone. Obviously, that's not going to be sufficient. So we need to drive this market-based funding. Capital market needs to play a significant role in financing the efforts for the industries and business. I'm going to stop there for a while, for a bit, Renita, so maybe, you know, to allow...
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that leads on very nicely to my next question. So you talk about these tremendous growth opportunities in Malaysia, right? But as an industry, are we actually capitalizing fully on the opportunities presented by the development of investment products that are both sustainable and Sharia compliant?
Okay. There's never going to be an optimal level for that. I mean, capitalizing, there's always the need to keep on improving and growing whatever opportunities we are. And that's where we've got to be very agile and dynamic, right? From both the regulator, from the issuers and the investors in understanding and taking this agenda further. I mean, Malaysia has been the major player. We are global leaders in Islamic finance. And therefore, we are nicely positioned. We are at a sweet spot, obviously, and continually to be in a sweet spot to be at the forefront to develop the SRI space. And what makes it easy for both sustainable and Sharia compliant is that there's an abundant or significant commonalities and convergence of the underlying principles. Social responsibility, inclusiveness, equitable sharing of risk. And when you couple that with the national agenda to transition to low carbon economy, we are placing ourselves in an optimal position. So the ability to capitalize is always there. How do we then convert or do that manifestation to the maximum? If you take from a granular aspect, we have facilitated it through frameworks. We saw it, the Sukuk framework in 2014. We issued guidelines for SRI funds in 2017. And we then issued in 2022 the SRI linked Sukuk framework. The numbers and stats that I had shared earlier in terms of the number of funds, the size of Sukuk and bonds issued, are all actually evidence to where that framework has taken us. And the growth rates have also been encouraging. And I guess that would answer that question where we have capitalized, Vinita. But whether we have capitalized fully is, again, a question of all the actors in that ecosystem taking it up, being consistent about it and sustaining it. We actually also took it down different pillars in terms of developmental agenda, where instead of just focusing on the climate, we then ventured into, or rather explored the feasibility of bringing in the social part into the Islamic capital market and tying that up with the ESG agenda, where we issued the WACA featured fund framework in 2020. And that then covers the social finance bit. So from an Islamic finance perspective, that milestone had facilitated converging commercial and social objectives. So for sure, I think the increase in market-based instruments linked to green, social and sustainable goals continue to grow. Investor interest, I think, will continue to grow. Mm-hmm. But it's always work in progress.
Yeah, understood.
But importantly, we are pursuing that economic growth, but at the same time, positioning the country's resilience against climate change and the well-being of future generations through the various ecosystem enablers.
Okay. So about 6 months ago, Securities Commission Malaysia released the principles-based sustainable and responsible investment taxonomy for the Malaysian capital markets. I'd like to know, how does that fit in with other SC initiatives, you know, such as the SRI Sukuk framework and so on?
Okay, an ecosystem is always made up of several different building blocks, right? And I think when we started putting in that sustainability initiative building block in 2014, where that was the foundation of the laying out of a plan for how do we facilitate the SRI ecosystem. So that started with the SRI Sukuk framework. But as we continue to grow and we see products coming into the market, services related coming into the market, you cannot leave it to organic growth. And therefore, there is where, as participants, as market participants learn better and embrace the concept and agenda of sustainability better, you would require greater clarity, greater benchmarking, greater standardization, so that you can do your structuring and planning of activities that can qualify as SRI and bring in the investors to your site much easier. But of course, also, it's not just that. Notwithstanding that, I think there's always the effort to mitigate greenwashing risk, which comes up to be of great concern today. We cannot have sustainability just as a theme, but it also has to reflect. I mean, you got to walk and you got to walk the talk, right? And therefore, greenwashing risk must be mitigated. And that it can only be coupled by guidance and clarity. So when we developed the principle-based SRI taxonomy, which was published in December 2022, the intent was that, one, it's principle-based. Two, it provides a set of common guiding principles on how one classifies the economic activities so that we can align it with the E element, with the S element, and the sustainability objectives. Just to quickly give you a better feel of it, the environmental objectives identified in SRI taxonomy includes climate change mitigation, climate change adaptation and protection of healthy ecosystem and biodiversity, and also promotion of resource resilience. Why we took the principles-based approach also, I mean, just to go further into this conversation, that was a deliberate decision on our end because we are very mindful and cognizant that market players have different levels of readiness. The wider stakeholder has a different level of preparedness. And starting with principle based, as we aim for that greater standardization, there also needs to be a phase-based approach. Because what you then result in is an orderly development. We then, I think right now, are trying to do it also through greater awareness and acceptance. Because as I said, all this is always a journey, Vanita. And we know, as we issued it, the significance of it to the capital market and the relevant economic sectors, we couldn't just come up with a principle base and be one that's doing it exclusive of others. Right. So when we started with the principle-based approach, in doing that, we actually collaborated with various market practitioners for the development. I mean, we established industry working groups. We had representatives from different segments. We worked with bodies such as World Bank. And all that put together and pulled together came out with the results of the SRI taxonomy.
Right. Okay. And so now that we have that, what is actually the next step after the release of the taxonomy?
First of all, before we look at what's the next step, we do need to understand that the implementation of it is voluntary. And therefore, as it's voluntary, we know that the next steps must be aligned to that. So that as one embraces it, as one complies with it and look at the guidance, that taxonomy, and for example, if you take that and couple it with the guideline, it will be taken as a comprehensive approach. So with that, I think what we are looking for as the next step is that we're trying to establish greater clarity on the guidance. We are now trying to look at the next stage of that taxo development. We are going to be developing SRI taxonomy plus standards, considering it in an alignment with the ASEAN ecosystem. That next step will have more granular, more detail. We are looking at thresholds, we are looking at metrics, we are looking at indicators, we are looking at targets. But again, as you shift to a much more defined aspiration, the journey will take time. So therefore, I go back again to where we say it is voluntary. It will be phase-based. There is a clear plan on what's next, but it will be in different bite sizes at times, but also with a clear plan and target is how does one measure it?
Excellent. Thank you so much, Haniza.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on Islamic sustainable finance and investment, log on to www.islamicsustainable.com. You can also listen to the episodes on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.